This is Rebecca Lowe, or Rebecca Lua, if you listen to Suboptimal Radio, and you are listening to Men in Blazers on the NBC Sports Network.
It's unbelievable!
Hey-o! The woman behind us, Rog, a US national team midfielder with more than 200 caps. You've only got one, Rog. She's a three-time World Cup veteran and a three-time Olympic gold medal winner. But what's most impressive about her, she's been on our Suboptimal show before and actually agreed to come back and hang out with us. We welcome to the panic room the one and only Heather O'Reilly. Hey-o! I love that.
Heather, you're poised to play in your third World Cup. Can you give us a sense of the hey-o mental state right now?
Yeah.
I think the team's looking great. I'm ready. You know, I'm feeling healthy, feeling fit. It's been a long build-up, and I think that this team has been very hungry and focused ever since, you know, losing to Japan in that penalty kick shootout in 2011. We've been waiting for this moment, so we're ready to go.
So you've been thinking about this World Cup for 4 years, haven't you?
I mean, sometimes your thoughts go elsewhere, of course. But, you know, whenever you're doing your training or your sprints and, you know, you're with your club and you're always thinking about improvement. And I think that if you always think about, you know, taking small gains in your game, you know, that's going to lead you to becoming the best player that you can be in these big tournaments.
I'll be honest, I've not spent any time thinking about anything else other than the Women's World Cup.
You don't think about self-betterment?
Overrated. Not possible. Those two things come to mind in word association to that.
He definitely hasn't been thinking a lot about self-betterment.
I don't know, like I've been spending any time on self-betterment. Did you spend time with your head on your... You know that moment before you kind of properly awake and, but you're not quite asleep? Do you toggle wildly between thinking, Canada, Vancouver, we win it all! Canada, it all goes belly up. Do you kind of toggle in your mind between those two scenarios?
I mean, I think that all of us are sort of at this elite level because we are such optimists and such positive thinkers. We feel like we can take on the world. And, you know, sometimes in practice you think that, you know, you can take on the world. And then Abby Wambach scores on your team when she's playing on the other team. And you get reminded.
Fortunately, she's on your team
now, exactly.
Which is a much better place for Abby to be.
Yeah, you get reminded of your humanity. But I think that, yeah, we're all very confident people heading into this tournament.
So you're a World Cup veteran, played in two World Cups before. You know what it's like. You know the grind of tournament play. What, now you're a veteran on this team, having learned, being in that privileged position, having learned from some of the veterans, certainly from the first World Cup you went to, some of those great players of yore, what advice do you pass on to the younger players that you've learned from uniquely playing World Cup soccer?
Well, I think most importantly, it's being ready for your moment. You know, we all want to be out there on the field. I would love to be in the starting lineup, and I'm going to be ready for that role or coming off the bench if my team needs me. But I think that it's doing everything that you can do to provide your piece for the team. And everybody has different, you know, strengths and skill sets that they bring to the table. And it's sort of about, you know, staying focused and present, not getting too overwhelmed by all the outside world and commentary, although yours is very rich, but staying on our task at hand.
Tell your teammates not to watch any of our rubbish during the Women's World Cup. We don't want to distract you with that.
I mean, I am interested. I mean, you talk about the shift from being a starter to being a squad member, an experienced squad member, bringing that wisdom. But there's a competitive elite athlete. Can you tell a little bit about the mental changes you have to make, an adjustment to being now a squad player ready to come in off the bench as opposed to kind of the written in as one of the first names on the starting 11?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a twist in your mindset. But I think at the end of the day, you just have to bring yourself back to what you contribute to the team that's different and unique. And that's when I talk to, you know, kids across the country, I try to emphasize, you know, figure out what you bring that's special and unique. And you guys know it's my game face.
Yes.
So I make sure that I look in the mirror before every game, that I'm practicing that I'm ready to bring that. No, in all seriousness, it's just about reminding the young players why they're there, you know, and that's something that Mia Hamm did to me when I was just a young player coming on the team. She kind of took me by the shoulder and reminded me that I was special, that I was there for a reason, and that it was my responsibility to the team to bring my unique talent. So that's kind of what I try to do for the players that haven't been there before.
How has your game developed over the years, especially being a midfielder, that game has to develop over the years. It always seems to more than other players. Yeah. How has your game developed since you came into that squad in 2004?
Well, early on in my career, I was a striker for the national team. And then when Pia came on board in about 2008, I sort of converted to an outside midfielder. She liked my pace out there, my 1v1 ability, and my sort of engine to get up and down the flanks. So that was the year that I sort of shifted to midfield. And for many years, her, you know, vision for me was a very up and down sort of midfielder, especially getting crosses into the box to Abby Wambach's head. And that was my role. And, you know, I'm very proud that in the 2012 Olympic Games that I was able to, you know, send in that cross that Alex Morgan headed home that sent us on to the final. So that was my role for a very long time. But of course, the game develops, it evolves. And I think now I'm, you know, growing my game into more of a playmaking role. Of course, I can get up and down that flank as well. But, you know, coming inside, connecting some passes, you know, getting some shots on goal myself. And so that's sort of the new evolution of my game.
And that's also the modern women's game. Better footballers, better quality across the field, better quality of the opponents. You've got to be more versatile. You've got to be able to do more on the field.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that our style now, you know, and you guys have seen it as well on the men's side, is the outside backs now are usually the ones that are getting up and down that flank. Yeah, so I'm kind of like, oh, that used to be me getting around. So all the girls joke that maybe I'm heading back to outside defender. So who knows? I sure hope not, but maybe one day.
You'll be a sweeper by the time it's all done.
You're off to Canada. Your previous World Cups, long-haul flights to China, to Germany. Can you talk psychologically? I mean, we're going to get in a minivan and just set the GPS for North Detroit, and we're going to be there. How does it feel psychologically? Less travel, and you're practically, if you believe in invasions, you're practically playing at home.
Yeah, it's going to be a little bit of a different feel than, you know, playing in China or playing in Germany. But, you know, I think we'll be sort of have a local crowd. I think a lot of people are heading up there. So we'll sort of have a little bit of a home crowd feel. And a lot of our family and friends are making it up there. So we'll feel a lot of support.
We were in Rio last summer at the Men's World Cup, the lesser of the two events. And we stayed in Rio. And it was amazing how many Argentinians had flooded.
Yes.
And how many Chileans, how many Colombians flooded. And I'm sure you guys are about to experience that with the kind of American fan base that's going to overflow. Which of the games in the opening round, Australia, Nigeria, Sweden, are kind of front of mind for you in terms of challenge? I know you're going to tell us they're all great.
Yeah, a lot of yellow and green in those opening games. Right. It worries me a little. Norwich I like City. Blue and red. A lot Norwich. Of yellow and green. A lot of yellow City and green.
Our new uniforms? Is that what you're referring to?
No, not yours. Yours are predominantly white. There's a little bit of yellow.
It's not green, it's bold.
But Australia, Sweden, Nigeria, there's a lot of yellow and green.
Oh, no, our opening game's Australia, and that's not an easy team to open up with. They're very athletic, you know, feisty, eager players. So I think
suffer from no lack of self-belief, the Australians, either.
They're
a great nation
girls.
Of athletes. They're very, very confident.
Absolutely. And then, of course, our second game is Sweden, and they're ranked 5 in the world and for a reason. And obviously our former coach is coaching
face.
Sweden now. So, yeah, we're very familiar with each other. We've played each other a ton. And every time it's a really good battle. So those teams, of course, we're opening up our first and second game, and we want to start off with a good record.
Is it going to be odd hearing Pia's voice for the other team? And just sometimes, is there almost like a psychological thing that you almost listen and you hear it's for you? It's going to be an odd thing, right?
Yeah, I guess a little bit. But we've seen Pia around, you know, at various tournaments these last couple of years.
Any of you still in text relationships with her, or does she now WhatsApp you back? Who dat?
I'm not, but, you know, maybe some of the other players might be. No, I think that, you know, it was a, you know, very cordial departure with Pia, I would say. You know, I don't know the ins and outs, but, you know, it was sort of just time for her to move on and head home to Sweden, and time for our team to sort of have a new direction. So I think, you know, there's no love lost there, and we're always eager to just battle it out.
Yeah,
we left us singing. The Rick Horton, one of our GFOPs, wrote in and said, Heather, how much game strategy is focused on taking away an opponent's strengths or making them play to their weaknesses? Does the US worry about their opponents, or do you just try and exert your own ideas, your own influence, your own unlock your own potential power within the game?
That's a great question. I think for the most part, we focus on ourselves, of course, and we know that if we play our best football, you know, we will score goals and we'll win games. But I think that there's some small tweaks, obviously, that are made for your opponents. You know, if you have a, say, an outside back that is getting forward a lot successfully, maybe, you know, you try to press that side a little bit heavier so that person sort of can't get out of pressure. Stuff like that, if you know personnel-wise that they have some dangerous threats on their team, you might make some small tweaks. But at the end of the day, it's about us putting together what we've been working on these last few years and scoring some goals.
Yeah, about your game plan. So Canada, of course. I feel like the Canadians feel a great sense of rivalry with the U.S., both politically, culturally, economically, but particularly, it seems, in women's soccer right now after the events in London of 2 summers ago. Do you feel that rivalry at all? And do you especially feel it going into this World Cup?
Yeah, of course. Canada is sort of our local rival, you know, compared to the men's national team. They have
your Mexico.
Exactly. And the thing is with the Canadian team, we know a lot of those players. I mean, they play on the club teams with us. They've played, you know, some of us at university. So we're very familiar with each other. And they have it out to beat us once and for all. You know, we've scraped by some games. We've pounded them, you know, some games. And but they've developed. They're a very, very good team. So the rivalry is strong. I mean, I think it's a respectful one, but the rivalry is definitely there. And it'll be interesting if we see each other in the tournament.
My favorite Canadian player, Sydney Leroux.
Mine too.
Fantastic. I adore her.
A boot!
I'm interested in the culture of a World Cup squad. You've got a lot of young, fresh faces. I spent some time with the US men's national team in the run-up to the last World Cup. Tim Howard used to talk about how honestly odd it was for a 35-year-old bloke to hang out with 18, 19-year-old, 20-year-olds for months, living in hotels together. And your squad's got Ramponi, Rodriguez, Box, they're all mothers. Julie Foudy told us that the 99ers, you could tell they're two kind of distinct social groups. She said there's the MTV watchers when there's a television and the CNN watchers. It was like the two completely different cultures.
Which one was Foudy?
I imagine she probably...
She was box to box, Julie Foudy.
She loved... Yeah. Who was that VJ? Martha...
Quinn.
She loved Martha
Quinn.
Yeah, I'm sure
she's
Julie Foudy.
Martha Quinn. she's a lovely woman.
Classic name, actually. Yeah. You're a wonderful woman
she
if you want to love again.
Developed
can
a talk
you talk
show
about the different cultures that exist on your team, the different social cultures?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I think, it's a nice blend. I mean, obviously everybody sort of has their closer friends and people that they hang out with a lot, but I wouldn't say that we're a cliquey team. You know, I think that there's a good sense of sort of mutual respect amongst the group. And of course you probably navigate towards your group, and sometimes that is age related. Like I find myself hanging out with Allie Krieger and Megan Rapinoe and Becky Sauerbrunn, like, oh, you know, the late 20 crew, you know, because we've been playing together for many, many years. But that being said, when, you know, you have Morgan Bryan and Julie Johnson just being 22, 23 years old, they're great. They're great girls as well, and enjoy hanging out with them. So I think that they wouldn't say that we're like a scary older bunch that like was too intimidating coming in. And it's a lot of fun when the kids are on the road, I'll tell you that much, because it is good. Like, you know, you might come off a tough practice, but then you see these little kids run to their moms and you realize the bigger perspective of it all, and it sort of takes our minds away from the game, which is healthy. But the kids will be nowhere to be found at the World Cup, so yeah, it looks like it's just Morgan Bryan that Crystal Rampone will be watching after.
So how are you going to prepare for what's going to happen up in Canada?
That's a great question. I think that I've learned that it's good to kind of go into these big tournaments with a clear mind. And by that, I mean sort of tidy up all areas of my life, you know, whether it's relationships with friends, if it's my relationship with my husband, whether it's my finances, seeing family, stuff
get
like that.
Get everything square.
Get everything square.
So you don't have to think about
any
of that stuff.
Have you made a will, Heather?
Do you want something?
That was Roger's way of saying he wouldn't mind something.
No. I just like to think.
You like to
know? No,
it
wasn't
okay.
About me. Although I'd like your World Cup winner's medal that you're going to get.
Yeah, that'd be good. Oh, yeah. Might be on the table.
But you guys know what I mean. Just square things away and just have a clear mind going into this tournament. Just kind of be able to focus on this grand adventure in front of us.
That's interesting you say that, because I played athletics, but to a much lower level than you. But one struggle I always had is not letting my mind drift during... It almost felt like the bigger the match and the bigger the point, the more that my mind would drift to other things outside it. It's a huge conditioning thing to get that stuff away from you.
Absolutely. I think that everybody has sort of their game plan of what they do to escape. And for some people, I think you talked to Becky Sauerbrunn on here. She loves reading that sci-fi stuff, you know, and that's her way of sort of escaping from the soccer field, or whether you're just cranking through some TV series to get away for a couple hours, or playing cards and hanging out.
What do you read? What is your escape?
I've been getting through some TV shows.
Like?
I've just basically crushed the entire series of The Good Wife.
Oh, wow.
Do you guys watch that?
Do you know what? I watched a little bit of The Good Wife. Yeah. I was really interested in the relationship between the two major characters. For the last 3 years, they didn't shoot a single scene with each other. I heard Julianna Margulies.
I know. I looked into that. Like, do you think
it's like me and Rog doing a show, but we'd never actually meet each other.
Yeah.
I mean, you
have to assume that they hate each other,
yes,
right?
Yes, I know. That was genius. So The Good Wife, you've just crushed.
That's a lot of looking for a new show, though.
Julianna Margulies killed that.
Oh, new show. Try Silicon Valley. Might not be your thing, but I love. That's my favorite show on television right now, Silicon Valley. HBO.
Okay.
I want to talk another thing about the culture of the team. You win, the team wins. But now in this age of Instagram and Twitter, there's kind of like a jockeying to be the face of the team. All the agents are very, very aware. And when we speak to them, completely aware to the dollar of the endorsement deals. That if their client is the winning face of the World Cup team that wins, how much that will translate through to. It's a question we have from the most GFOPs when they knew you were coming. Do you feel that subtle jockeying? I mean, you must do. How is it experienced within the team?
You know, I think everybody has their own personal things going on. At the end of the day, I think collectively we know if we take care of the business on the field, good things will come. You know, so I don't think that, you know, people get too overwhelmed with that aspect, because at the end of the day, we need to win this thing. You know, it's win or bust for us. So,
and is that pressure more than just the pressure that you put on yourselves as a team and as athletes and as representatives of this country, but also pressure you put on as almost representatives and the future of the women's game in this country?
I think a little bit of both. I think that, you know, nobody puts as much pressure on us than ourselves. We have a very high standard. This collection of athletes is extremely, you know, type A competitive women that, you know, have had success and want success. And, you know, we want to get the job done more than anybody. But, you know, of course, we know that, you know, whether it's the professional league in the U.S. or just the growth of the game overall, a lot of things, might depend on us bringing home gold. But I think at the end of the day, if we kind of zone in on sort of our task as individuals and as the team, good things will come, and all that kind of stuff will just tag along with it.
Can you talk about the legacy of the 99ers within that pressure? The longer the U.S. goes without winning, the further back 99 recedes into kind of the sporting collective memory. Does the image of the 99ers, which gets banded around every World Cup, is that inspirational for you guys, or is that like an albatross in cleats, a sporting albatross in cleats around your net? Like, all right, enough already.
Yeah.
Enough pressure trying to win this thing without hearing that story.
And
you
fairly uniquely sit in the world in the bridge between the 99ers and the present squad, having played with so many of them.
Yeah. I mean, I think maybe we would be harder on ourselves if we haven't done anything since 1999.
Yeah.
But we've done a lot of cool stuff since 1999, you know?
We've won a lot.
We've won a lot. I mean, we've won 3 gold medals at the Olympic Games. We've won a bronze and a silver. Of course, it's not the standard of gold, but something that we're very proud of, you know, those results, and that are not easy in this developing game of women's football, and I'm, you know, confident that the level across the board has raised since 99. So, you know, we, of course, like,
do they steer clear of the 99ers when the World Cup is going on? Or do you talk to any of the characters, or are they just like, you know what, we're going to completely steer clear?
I mean, some of them are very supportive. You know, Mia and I have a great relationship, and she's, you know, reaching out to myself and to some of the other players and just showing their support. And, of course, some of the players are still sort of in the media, with Julie Foudy, and Brandi Chastain has done some commentary. And, now Allie Wagner is a player that is going to be working with the broadcast crew, and Kat Whitehill. So players that have been with the national team for a long time, and Yeah, so I think that they're behind us. I think that we feel that they're behind us, and you know, I don't know what they're feeling in their heart. If they, I would assume that they want us to win,
yes,
and they want us to bring home gold.
All the ones we've spoken to, without a doubt.
They're not like the Miami Dolphins.
They didn't want anybody else to have a perfect season. You mentioned something there which I think is really interesting about this World Cup. Obviously, this World Cup getting a lot of attention. It's in Canada, but also the overall raising of standard of the women's game across the world. There seem to be so many more contenders. There seem to be so much more quality. Seems to be the thing that's going to make this World Cup so rich, and ultimately the U.S. victory so rich.
Absolutely. I mean, the game has just progressed so much. I mean, it's a very attractive quality and brand of football. And I think that people, you know, that sort of are just coming on to watching women's soccer will notice that and will say, these women are very good. I mean, this is attacking, aggressive style of soccer, and will want to watch. And I think across the board, whether it's France, whether it's Brazil, and of course Germany, and you know, some of these teams, especially in Europe, are just putting
England.
Yeah, they've come along.
They've come a long way. At the very least, you've got to say they've come a long way.
No, England. Absolutely. They've very much improved.
They are better.
Leanne
than
Sanderson is one of my great friends from club soccer, and she's a star on their team, and they've come a long way. I mean, across the board, women's soccer has improved. So,
who are some of those players that you're looking at on the global level? I'll say we've mentioned some of the great U.S. players. Who are some of those international stars you're thinking might have a great World Cup, or you're looking forward to seeing?
Yeah, of course. For France, you got to talk about Nassib.
I love Louise Nassib.
Fabulous player.
Favorite.
Sager with Sweden is somebody that you know, has really made her mark in Swedish football, and has come over here, and we know she's one of the best in the world. And of course, what's her name, Martha, that plays down in Brazil?
Yeah.
Oh no, Marta. Yeah, five-time FIFA player of the year.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
she's a good player, and she's actually a very, very sweet person, and a good teammate, as some of my other teammates can attest that I've played to her.
Phenomenal football.
I want to talk to you about you for a second. Your alter ego. Clark Kent became Superman. Henry the mild-mannered janitor became Hong Kong Fooey. Susan Storm Richards became the Invisible Woman. She might be in here and we would never know. You become, Heather O'Reilly becomes Heyo.
Heyo!
And we know you're Heyo because of something you mentioned earlier, your game face.
Oh, wow. Right in the camera, come on.
I don't have it. I don't have that muscle. It's my core strength is poor. You're like the Phil Jones of women's football. I mean that as a compliment.
Can you do the caterpillar header? Oh, no, that'd be amazing.
I loved that.
That was so good.
That was
one
cool.
of the highlights of the season.
That was a caterpillar header.
Was desire, commitment, and high human comedy.
Yeah.
I know you're not aware of pulling it. When I've read interviews with you, you say you pull this face that is quite phenomenally. There's an album of amazing faces that you pull in the heat of battle.
A little terrifying.
Scary.
Yeah.
I mean, it's honestly fantastic. I know you're not aware of pulling it, but can you use three adjectives to describe your state of mind when that face comes over you?
Well, I can't replicate it right now because I can only do it when I step over the lines.
Heyo. We come in peace,
We come in peace.
But when it happens, what is going on in the head?
I mean, I just think I'm in the zone.
Oh, I was just about to say
the zone.
Never
intense,
been there. Heard it's
competitive.
Nice.
Like, I just love the 1v1 duel. Like, I just love that. I think that was fostered at University of North Carolina. That's what we were all about, the 1v1 duel and attack and aggression. I think that was maybe more than three words, but
those are good ones. Aggression, one-on-one. Who is a player that you just relish playing against because of the competitive instinct it gives you? So often the people that you play against, you enjoy playing against the most, aren't the people you like the most.
Yeah.
And all necessarily the people you respect the most, but they're just the people you just like the battle, you relish the battle against them.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. There's a player actually that plays for Australia, so you have to keep your eyes out for her. Her name's Caitlin Ford.
Caitlin Ford.
Yeah, fantastic young defender. That, you know, we've gone up against each other many times in the club environment, and She's very fast and has good recovery speed. So I need to throw in a little bit more at her to beat her.
Little jink.
Yeah, throw in a little bit more magic.
Try the Arjen Robben dodgy flapper move. He waves the dodgy flapper. The defender looks into the eye of the dodgy flapper. They become mesmerized, hypnotized, and they never know you're going to cut inside.
Okay.
Although you go around the outside as well.
Yeah. I don't like to give away footballing trade secrets, but game face plus dodgy flapper equals victory.
Unbeatable. Yeah, without a doubt.
World Cup gold right there.
Yeah.
You played in two World Cups. You've come close. I mean, you talk about optimism, an elite athlete's mindset. Does the prospect of possibly ending your career as an international player and not winning the World Cup, have you spent even a second? Because I'm someone very negative. I spend a lot of time thinking about defeat, loss, and negative scenarios.
It's a general, cultural stereotype that we're diving into right now.
It's an approach to life. It's not a positive, not a good one.
I'm positive. My nickname in college was Positive.
Oh, okay.
And Rog might have been negative in college.
Have you thought for a second about not winning this World Cup? Have you entertained that thought?
I mean, it might have been a fleeting thought in the mind, but it doesn't hang. You know, it doesn't hang like the positive ones. It doesn't hang like the optimistic ones. And
only
it
the
doesn't
way that
hang.
An evangelical Christian fears hell and eternal damnation in order to go forward and honor God even
more.
Rog.
I love America.
Yeah, we're realistic. We know that there's a lot of good teams out there, but we believe. We believe in ourselves.
Talking about belief, thank God you give me so many amazing segues. I love working with you. I wanted to talk about hashtag She Believes.
She believes.
Hashtag She Believes, the US soccer's team campaign to encourage all the young fans, new and old, who are going to watch this World Cup to not just be fans, passive fans, spectating losers like me, but to actually get involved and become active players themselves. I'm fascinated. We have a lot of young viewers on this show. What kind of life lesson that's led to your success would you share with them?
Yeah, I think it's a cool campaign that U.S. Soccer has put together.
Amazing.
And I think it's not only for aspiring soccer players. It's, you know, if a young female or boy wants to be a doctor or...
Or balding middle-aged television.
Yeah, or, you know, save the world. I think that we're trying to inspire the youth through what we do. And I think that my message to the youngsters, I think, is to just be yourself. Like we were talking about earlier. I mean, everybody has their contribution and has their skill set.
The
and
thing
has
that's
their
special about them.
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of coaches and teachers are always sort of emphasizing, you know, work on your weaknesses. And I hear that. You
Move
know, you
to
want
Europe,
to round yourself
join
out.
The Premier League.
But what's your thing, you
yeah.
know, and celebrate that because that's what makes you
build
special.
Build around your strengths.
Unique.
Build your game
exactly.
around your strengths.
Exactly.
Very,
I'm
going to
spend
important.
A lot of time thinking about what is my thing.
When did you realize, by the way, when did you know that you were good? At what age?
I think probably around like maybe 14.
Oh, I thought you were going to say four. Then.
No,
I was going to be like,
no.
Wow.
Yeah, 14 is sort of... At least here in the U.S., when, you know, when I was growing up, when I sort of left my youth club, my local town team, and joined
the travel
the,
team.
Exactly, the elite
in
club.
East Brunswick.
Yeah, I played for East Brunswick for a number of years, and then I played for PDA, which is
PDA well.
Yeah, a big soccer club in New Jersey that has produced a lot of great players, including Tobin Heath. I mean, did you see that move that she nailed the other day?
Well, New Jersey, by the way, one should say, is an elite. It's a hotbed of American soccer, both male and female.
Things. Number one, best bar mitzvahs in America, New Jersey. Best footballers, male and female. It's an incredible hotbed. What do you all say to
the parties, pizza, and football?
Party pizzas and players.
Golf courses.
What did you all say to Tobin? If you have not seen it, Google it. Tobin Heath Elastico is a moment of just... artistic, creative brilliance. It is absolutely.
If you were
exquisite.
That defender, what would you have done?
I would have loved to have been that defender, just to become like posterized by Tobin Heath. In
separated into two.
It's like the Swedish gentleman, the defender who Cruyff did the Cruyff turn on in the World Cup, said it was an honor. He said it was an honor to be.
He's going to live on.
Part of a moment
forever.
Of brilliance like that. But what did you all say to her, by the way, afterwards?
Oh, I mean, we were just so pumped for her. I mean, well, the thing is we've seen her do that in practice all the time. So it's like, it's always cool when you see things happen that you know that people are capable of in these grand arenas. So we are happy for her. And that just, that's another thing we tell the kids, you know, that doesn't just happen. Tobin works on that. You know, you have to put in your hours to achieve good things.
Tobin works on humiliating people. Tobin, if you're watching, you should have saved it for the final. That was the only thing I didn't like about
She's got more where that comes from.
You finished third in 2007. You finished second in 2011. I'm not very good at maths, but I'm sensing a pattern here, a progression.
Yeah, exactly. It goes up that way. So excited. Last question for me. Talked earlier about the zone. What is the best you've ever played, and for how long did it last?
Hmm.
When was the moment that you realized that you were playing your best, and how long did being in that zone actually last for you?
That's a great question.
Was it a single game? Was it across a run? Was it across a season?
Yeah. I think I was playing pretty well in 2011 into that World Cup. I don't know if you guys have seen, but I scored probably the best goal of my life in that World Cup against Colombia. It was up for the Puskas Award.
They call it the Heyo Award.
Heyo!
Heyo!
Yeah, that was some good football that I was playing, and I felt confident in what I was contributing to the team, fit and healthy, and like I said, believing in my unique abilities.
When you're in the zone, does it spill to life outside of football? When you get out of bed, the little birds swoop down and dress you in the morning.
Yeah, like what's that song? I just feel like it's running in my head all the time. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man.
That's so good. It's always there. Like,
yeah.
Every line you say is funny. You cook and it tastes amazing. Like everything you put on an outfit. God, I look good today.
Yeah, yeah, you're just feeling it.
We've never felt that.
Keep dreaming, guys. We hope that your best football, you being in the zone, actually takes place over the course of the next
month. That's what I want you to do. We're going to tap into that. We're going to think about 2011.
As soon as I step into the zone.
Through that curtain, you're into that zone.
I've got to say, your optimism, your positivity, your belief is absolutely infectious. My self-loathing has never been at lower levels.
That's amazing.
With you.
That is powerful. Can you please come back every week after the World Cup? That would be really convenient.
We are thrilled to have you in here. We are thrilled to send you off. We wish each and every one of you, amazing individuals all, Godspeed.
Thank you.
In Canada. We will be watching. We will be savoring every single second.